for many years now, Bob Miller, also special music guy who does a lot of guitar fiddling, playing. We appreciate Bob and his testimony through the years. He's been here a long time. He's been over 20 years now. Yeah, been here a long time. Loves, again, I could say of him, has been an asset and a friend of mine. So I present to you Brother Bob Miller. May the Lord bless you, Bob.
Am I on? Yeah. I hear a little ringing in that. Ringing.
Tell him to turn it down, too.
Yeah.
What?
Quit trying to imitate me. Okay, if I'm in here, you know for a fact that I'm probably going to speak because I'm never in here. And it's good to see everybody in here this morning. And those of you who were here this week, you got to see one of the wonderful things of being part of Gospel Baptist Church. You got to see the premier cheerleader of Gospel Baptist Church. You just had to have been here. It was awesome. We did have many children that came through here in the sessions that we had over the three nights that we had. I believe we had over 13 decisions. Some were salvation, some were assurances. And so I didn't get a chance to come in here and see all the goings on in here, because I was busy doing some work over there.
That's good.
And the boys and girls need that over there more than they needed what was over here. But you know, the over here brought them so they could be over there.
That's
a wonderful thing. And I hate to, I don't. I loved it. Let me steal a couple of Pastor's thunder. We are the church of the unashamed. Let's say that again. We are the church of the unashamed. And we are?
Born again.
One more time. We are?
Born again.
Wow. Wow. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
And I would like to, if I could today, everybody look in your Bible. We're going to turn to 1 John. I have for a long time wanted to teach in this book. And teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, I don't have much of an opportunity to do that because the curriculum is a little lower than what this curriculum is. And if you're in here today, you're going to have an understanding of, from the Apostle John, of some of the things that are foundational for you, and that you may live your life without the disruptions of those things that come in all the time. Right, Jimmy? How many disruptions, brother? All the time, right? This week I just had it up to here with my washing machine. My washing machine, whenever I would do clothes, it would go blah, 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 and shut off. What? It would start spinning, and it would be spinning so much, it would be slamming the wall and going up and down. It would just turn off. And I'm like, I'm done with this. So I went and investigated what was going on with it. It has four struts on it with springs on it. The springs had lost their tension, and the tub in it is now just bouncing up and down and sideways and going crazy. You know how you fix that? You put new springs in it. And see, that's what John in this epistle was trying to tell us. There are some things out there, as time goes on, that come in and get involved in your life and the things of life that cause you to be unbalanced. You think? And he's going to clarify some things in this little book of 1 John, which is one of my favorite books. By the way, if you ever have a doubt about whether or not you're saved, read this book. Read this book before the Gospel of John. Read this book. Why? Because he says in the back of the book, chapter number 5, he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou shalt know that thou hast eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of Jesus Christ." He wrote that, 1 John 5:13. By the way, this is one of the books you want to try to memorize from the beginning to the end. We have in our repertoire from here, we have, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." Where's that found? The book of 1 John. "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is of the world, and is not of the Father. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's in the book of 1 John. My favorite verse, one of them, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the world knoweth this not. Why? Because it knew not God. That's in the book of 1 John. This book is full of the things that we need so that we can keep our life in balance. And he deals specifically with that. It's amazing that Jesus, whenever he called him to come into the ministry with his brother, he called John and James, he called them what? The sons of thunder. What? I have never seen in any of the scriptures where he met that. But Jesus, whenever he called him, saw that in him. Sons of thunder. By the way, he was the older brother. Because we remember at the cross, whenever Jesus was on the cross, and he said to John, he said, behold thy mother. And he said to his mother, behold thy son. He was the oldest cousin that Jesus had to take care of his mother. John was the one he chose. And it's a wonderful thing that now John, who has been left of all the apostles, and he's given to us these books. In the book of John, we find that he wrote the book of John, and there's only a couple places in it where you can understand that. In the book of 1 John, you don't know who wrote this book from the internal parts of this book because he doesn't say anything. You do know that he wrote the book of the Revelation because he says, I, John, was in the Isle of Patmos. He identified himself, but this book is associated to John because he was that pastor at Ephesus that wrote the book of these small epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, so that he might encourage the beloved. He might be encourager of the fellowship. He might cause you to understand you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You'll notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. That's what he's talking about. And that's what he's going to bring us to. He was dealing with a lot of problems at that time, just like we're dealing with a lot of problems of our day too. John was dealing with a lot of the false doctrine that had crept into the church over time as it had gone on, and different people that he had dealt with specifically. He was dealing with the Ebionites, those who would deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was dealing with the Docetists, who were denying the complete humanity of Jesus Christ. And he was dealing with those Sarathians, and those who denied both. Don't we have that today? We have all kinds of people out there and doctrine out there and things creeping in out there that try to destroy every part of the doctrine of what Jesus taught us was the truth. And he's going to deal with these things specifically, and he gives us in the first verse, if you look at the first verse with me, it says in 1 John chapter number 1, he says, that which was from the beginning. Just like in Isaiah, it tells us in Isaiah 28:10, it says, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. There has to be a foundation upon which your life is built and based, or you're going to be out of balance. It's not going to... I did auto body and repairing of cars for a long, long time. And they would bring cars in and they would show me the tires wear on that and all the things that were going on. And they would claim it to this and claim it to that, claim it to this and claim it. And we would put it up on the machine and they had no claim. And we found out what it was. What? The tire was just out of balance. Shake your false teeth out, right? It also wear your shocks out. It also pull your car off the side of the road. It'll also blow out. Why? Because it creates heat. Some things that you might want to look at. And so knowing these things, like John was knowing what was going on in the church, he says, that which was from the beginning. He's going back to the foundation. Just like whenever we're teaching against the idea today of what we see is the prevalent idea today that's trying to destroy Christianity and it's trying to bring in atheism, and that's that theory of evolution. Will you go back? What happened at the beginning? This is something that they don't have an answer for. Let me tell you that specifically. In the beginning, the Bible says God created the heaven and the earth. In the book of John, chapter number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning, when the creation happened, according to Colossians 1:17, it was Jesus who was the creator in the beginning. You'll find that also in the first chapter of Hebrews. But John brings us to that, the foundation of it, the foundation of your balance and the foundation of the argument of all the good things that God has given to us. Brother Marty, you don't know how many good things God has given to you? He's going to explain it to you. Why? Because He has a purpose in it. And He says here, He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He says, I want to give you a personal testimony. I understood, saw, felt, and was involved with the Lord Jesus Christ personally. I personally can give you my testimony. Jesus is who He said He was. Jesus did what He said He was going to do. The foundation is, He says, that which was from the beginning, Jesus. He came, and I saw Him. I not only got to saw Him, Bill, I got to inspect Him. He was with Him for 3.5 years, day and night. He got to see Jesus when He got tired. He got to see Jesus when He got hungry. He got to see Jesus as He was dealing with the Pharisees, the unbelievers. He got to see Jesus when He was dealing in mercy to those who were coming to Him for help and for salvation. He got to understand totally the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He was doing and how He was doing it. And He can say, as a matter of fact, I want you to know, I'm an eyewitness. This is the Son of God. He wrote that in the book of John, by the way, chapter number 20. He says, if all the things that Jesus done had been written in the books, He said, the whole world could not contain them. But these are written that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That was His purpose. He wants us to have a balanced foundation of the things that we believe and understand. And He says here, for the life was manifested, that means to be made known, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Manifested means to be made very apparent, very clear, have a good understanding. Like some of you have a recipes for some of your favorite meals, okay? Some of us who really don't know how to cook very well, we would look at your recipe and we'd be like, it's Spanish, you know? But you ladies can grab that recipe and you can make it very clear so it's wonderful. Well, John, when he inspected the life of Jesus, he said the recipe of Jesus is wonderful. Wonderful. Because he says it was manifested and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. There are some key things that John likes to talk about. The beginning, eternal life. It is written, or I will write. Okay, those are some of the key things that you want to know. You need to understand that John has a purpose in the things that he's doing. And that purpose here is to show unto us that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, or made known unto us. Jesus, before the foundation of the world, was with God. Jesus, before he had created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and their sin, was God. Jesus, in His omniscience of knowing all things that are going on, knew that He would have to come and become a man like you and I. That's why He made us in His image. Why? So that He could be like us. And He did come, the Bible says, in the image of a man, in the person of a man. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him a form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now He was fighting those who were teaching that when Jesus came, Jesus was just like a figment of imagination. You could see Him, but He wasn't really there. Kind of like the evolutionists tell us today about their theories. And John is specifically taking this and slapping them in the face. He says, you're not telling the truth. Because the Jesus that I saw, the Jesus I understood, bodily came. And that's necessary for us. Because we find in the book of Hebrews, it specifically says, a body hast thou prepared for me. Why? Sacrifices and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, but a body that hast thou prepared for me. Jesus had to come in a human body like yours and I's. Why? So that he could actually do the will of God and pay the price for sin. What is the wages of sin? Death. Okay, how can something die if it's not alive? You can't. The spirit will never end. The spirit can be consistently separated from God, which is spiritual death. But a spirit, in and of itself, cannot, in essence, die. It is either already dead, like we are because of sin, but it can't cease to exist. So that's why Jesus had to come in a body. A body has to be prepared for me. And we know the Bible tells us that whenever Jesus was born, he was born as a little child. And Isaiah tells us that a son shall be born unto you, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He will be a living individual, a human being. And that's what was necessary. Why? Because without that sacrificial, physical death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Marilyn, there's no hope for us. There's no hope for us. Because that's the way God brings us into his family. And it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, verse number 3, that ye may also, what? Have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Now the theme of this book is the fellowship of the family. You're my brother. You believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? And makes you my brother. Marilyn, you're my sister. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?
Amen.
You're my sister. Brother Bill, you're my brother. You believe the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?
Absolutely.
I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. You're my brother. And John wants you to know that in this book. Why? Because it'll help you in your balanced life. To live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Bud, I need you. I come to church and I see you come in the door and I'm like, yes, he's here again today.
Right.
Someday you're not going to be here. I'm going to miss you. But you know what? I will know you forever.
Amen.
Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm only picking out, you know, certain people here. I'm not picking on anybody individually. I'm just trying to show you we're all in Christ. We're all in the fellowship of the unashamed. Amen?
Yes.
That's the foundation he's trying to get us to understand and incorporate into what we need to do in our lives. Not like the deists who said that Jesus only appeared in the body. Because this is what they taught. This is what they taught. They taught that materialism was evil. Everything that you can see is evil. And that's not true. My Bible says when God created everything in the beginning, he saw that everything was good, was very good. Those words, if you look at it in the original Hebrew, means it could not have been improved upon. Parenthetically, as he created man, he looked at man and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. And he made him a woman. And listen, ladies, the crowning of the statement, and God saw that it was very good, was he created you. Think about that for a little bit. Because it wasn't good to man to be alone. So he made him an helpmeet for him. And on that sixth day when it was all done, he said, oh, that's very good. That's very good. And so God has it all planned out for us. And we just need to understand that. The testimony of the fellowship. And that's what we need to understand. Let me see here. Let's go to John, the book of John, chapter number 1. I want you to see, if you could, with me real quick. We use this verse a lot when we're dealing with people in salvation. But it's just so much more than that. John chapter number 1. It's a good thing I brought my old Bible with me today, right? Open up. Look at verse number 12. John chapter number 1, verse number 12. And it says, but as many as received him, you see that? That's Jesus Christ. To them gave he the power. That word is authority. The power, the authority. What? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. That's why he says in 1 John 1:3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Bob, you're a son of God. And we're going to show you some things what he's talking about that will keep you in even balance. Because we have that fellowship and we are the sons of God, we also have the fellowship of joy. Look at verse number 4. And these things write we unto you that your what? Joy may be full. Marty, what does full mean? You can't put anything else in it. Is your joy like that? I don't know about you, but my joy hasn't been like that this week. I've got a little bit of, I've allowed anger to come in there. I've allowed to be upset come in there, you know. John says, I want you to have a little bit of balance in here. And how do you do that? Make sure your joy is full. Number one, how do you do that? Know for sure that you're saved. Know for sure you're in the family of God. Nobody can take that from you. The van breaking down this week and the alternator that had the golden bolt in the side of the motor that kept me from going to work for 2 days can't keep me from rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tried. It tried. I got mad a couple times, but then I said, whatever you want, Lord. You want it to fix? Fix it. You don't want it to fix? There it is. It's yours. He fixed it. He fixed it. All that we would trust God like that all the time. But we don't. What? What happens when we don't? We lose joy. We lose joy. Jesus said that my joy might be in you. Not as the world, but my joy. And that's, obedience brings joy. When Tyler was little, right? And he'd be doing something and you'd be like telling him what to do. And you had a really great relationship as long as he was what?
Obedient.
Obedient. What happened when it became disobedient? You lost your joy first.
It was a problem.
And then he lost his joy. And you had to come back to a place of understanding. There's somebody who leads and there's somebody who follows. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is the leader. We're the followers. He says, and these things write we unto you. There's that writing theme again. What? That your joy may be full. No room for anything else. Then this is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So the first fellowship is joy. The second fellowship is light. How many of you like walking around in the dark? I hate that. My big toe hates that. My little toe hates that. My house hates it. Walking around in the dark is not a fun time. Listen, if you're walking around in the dark, you don't have any joy either. But the Bible says that because Jesus Christ is your Savior, not only have you joy, but you also have light. You know what's going on. Somebody can't pull the proverbial wool over your eyes. Because we have an unction with the Holy One. And that's the Holy Spirit of God who comes and teaches us and tells us what to do and what to believe and how to believe. And as we're listening and somebody says something, there's red flags going off. You know who's throwing the red flags? Jesus. Why? Because he loves you. He wants your joy to be full. And he says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We find that in the book of James that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's our God. Variableness, that's something that those who are electricians understand, right, Bill? You have a light that has a variable frequency to it. It gets brighter and dimmer, right? That's easy. And there's no shadow of turning either. What? Somebody go over there and flip the switch? The frequency's gone. There is no light. God's like not like either of those. God's light is constant. It's always at full power. And all you have to do is get yourself tuned to His light. And He will lead you so that you can have a balanced life. And then we also see in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You have fellowship with truth. This is really big. This is really big. Because you live in a world of deception. This is the devil's world. If you don't understand that by now, let me just give you a wake-up call. This is the devil's world. And it's going to be his until Jesus says, it's enough. And he's going to grab Satan, that old serpent, and he's going to throw him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then Jesus is going to rule and reign on this earth. And the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. I'd love to see that. Yep. Sorry to say, but the people who live here are probably not going to be carnivores anymore. But whatever God gives them to eat, they're going to like it.
That's right.
They're going to love it. And it's going to fulfill all nourishment of them, too. There's not going to be any more sickness nor death. A child's going to be 100 years old. When the old devil's cast out, the old devil's kicked out of our lives and he's no longer with us, we're going to have paradise. Like it was in the beginning. Like it was in the beginning. John said you need to know this. Why? It'll keep you in balance. It'll keep you in balance. So we have the fellowship of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy of Jesus and of ourselves, and we have the fellowship of light, we have the fellowship of truth, we have the fellowship of the believers. That's what he was talking about. He's talking about us as knowing and you with us in verse number 3. So in verse number 7 he says, and if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship what? One with another. Hey, Bob, when you're walking in the light and I'm walking in the light, man, we're having a good old time. But when I trip, we ain't having a good old time anymore. So I don't want to trip. So how do I do that? This is how Bob Miller does it. I keep reading the book.
Amen.
When I see things that are not correct, I confess them. And I'm going to show you the next fellowship. Verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So what is this fellowship? It's the fellowship of our faults. Who's the greatest sinner in the world?
Me.
I don't know you, but I know me. God knows me. And I'll confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I'll confess to you I have an anger problem. And I'll confess to you I have a pride problem. And I'll confess to you that I have a bunch of problems. But I'll confess to you that Jesus is my Savior. He's my only hope. He's my only hope. That keeps me balanced. Because when I lose it and get mad, that's not what I should have done, Lord. You're right, I'm wrong. He's like, I'm glad you recognize that. And now I don't have to spank you. That's how God operates. God never kicks you out of the... When I talk to boys and girls over here, and I tell them, I says, have you ever done anything at home against your mom and your dad? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, well, what did you do? They'll tell me. And I'm like, well, when you did that, did your mom and dad came to you and say, get out of my house and go find your own name. You're no longer my child. No. Why? Because that boy and girl is the child of that mom and dad. Listen, the Bible tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
God's not going to kick you out of his family.
Right.
He may take you to the woodshed and straighten you out, but you're his. That'll give you balance in your life. That'll give you an understanding in your life of how you should operate. That'll actually give you confidence in your life. Why? Because how many times in a week, and even a day, how many times do you fail? God doesn't kick you out of his family. We have the fellowship of our faults. And then we also, in verse number 9, we have the fellowship of confession. Doc, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that you can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your faults to Him and know that you have that fellowship of that confession? What does He do for you, my brother? He forgives that, and He cleanses you of all the things that you don't know anything about. Which, from my perspective, as a simple human being, and being almost 69 years old, is quite a composite of information. The older I get, the dumber I get. Seriously. The more I know, the more I don't know. And the more I understand how big God is. He's so big. He's so huge. But we have this fellowship. We have the fellowship of the confession. We have the fellowship of the cleansing. We have all these things. Why? So that we can have a balanced life in Christ. He wants your life to be balanced. He wants your life to be powerful. He wants your life to continue on until He says it's time for you to come home. So you can be a testimony and influence like John was. John was an old man whenever he passed away. Old man. He had gone through many, many things. He had outlived all the apostles. And he's telling you from the opportunity and understanding of experience, that which was from the beginning, which your hands have handled, which we have seen with our eyes, of the word of life, that we declare unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. Balanced. Balanced. There's so much in this little book. Look at verse number 10, though. Here's the antithesis of having a balanced, joyful life. If we say that we, what? Have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. To deny our faults is to deny God and His word. Let me say that again. To deny our faults is to deny God and His word. To know that you're a sinner, but accepted, is something that it gives you a balanced life. Now, as in the writing here of John, we started in chapter number 2, but in the writing of John, chapter number 2 is a continuation on from chapter number 1. So we want to look at verse number 1 of chapter number 2. It says here, my little children. Oh, bud, doesn't that grab a hold of you? You're still God's little child. I don't know about you, but my daughter, who's 42 years old, she's still my little girl. When I walk in the door and I see her, I love you. I give her a big hug. Just like when she was born. My daughter Jenny's 41. And I walk in the door, I say, I love you. And I give her a big hug. And she hugs me back. I love you, Dad. That's how God loves you. John says, my little children, through the power of God, in the family of God. He says, my little children. He says, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That word there is paraclete or legal one, legal attorney, the legal attorney who will stand in your stead. And who is that? Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. And all these things that the fellowship that we have as children, and the foundation of that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because it tells us in the next verse, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation is the place of mercy. That's where anybody can go and get mercy from God for everything that they've done and anything that they will do. They can get mercy from God. Why? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming from the heart. It's not a change of what you do. It's not I'm going to try and do that which is good. It's a change of your heart. Knowing that you are a sinner by birth. And you can't please God. And so you come to Him and you confess to Him. You're a sinner by birth and you need His death, burial, and resurrection. in order for you to be saved. And then you confess with your mouth, just like the woman at the well did after Jesus had talked to her and showed her her sin. And she went back into the city after Jesus proclaimed to her. She says, we're looking for the Messiah. He'll teach us all things. He said, I that speaketh unto thee am he. What'd she do? She went back into the city and she said, hey, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ? She got saved. She had a change inside. She met the Lord Jesus Christ, and she found that in Jesus Christ, in confessing of Jesus Christ, she found salvation. Now, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, but he was planning to. He was already planning for her to have eternal life, and she had already believed. This is the foundation we have as children of God. This is the fellowship that we have as children of God. This is what we have in a balanced life that John is saying that we need to focus on. We need to focus on what God has given to us in these simple little things, and it'll cause us to have a balanced life. Balanced in Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Appreciate your listening this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for letting me teach.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.